Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
They're not very good.
Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take them out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Jonathan Kamingo.
Oh, that's a tough one last night. Tough one. Did you say good morning to everybody? The Warriors lose to the Kings 123-117. They were lighting the beam. Hell, they thought they were going to light the beam in the first quarter, but they were down 17 at the half. Draper wouldn't pick up my call. KC wouldn't pick up my call. And then after the game, they had even Whitey Gleason sent me a text and them lighting beam. I was like, oh, you too, Whitey? That's what we're doing now? Okay, Sacramento. But you know what? They had the last laugh. And right now they're laughing to the bank because they beat the Warriors five consecutive times, four straight times in the regular season. And you know what? The Warriors right now are free falling. And no, Tom Petty's not coming around the corner. He's not there yet. 21-22, the Warriors under 500. They're trying to get back to 500 right now against the Chicago Bulls tonight at Chase Center. We don't know if Steph Curry's going to play. So you know what? Yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour, we took calls about, are you even angry anymore when they lose? Well, damn it, I am angry after a loss last night.
I'm so upset!
And I question people who are not angry after a loss last night. That bothers me. I will never accept losing in my life in anything. So that's where I'm at this morning after they get the third quarter, man, 37-20. Oh, you just seen it in real time, Sasuke. It was a disaster. It was so bad I had to go back home and watch it. I didn't go to bed till 12 o'clock because I was like, I got to see how this third quarter played out again.
I rewatched.
And it's just live ball turnover after live ball turnover.
Yeah, watching that. I mean, obviously, there was a variety of plays that you could point to. And then they had like a, whatever, 5-6 point lead toward the end of the third quarter. And then there was a couple of top-of-the-key turnovers that led to easy layups. There was a DeRozan and one, a Malik Monk and one late in the third, early fourth. And it was just... It was a variety of things. I mean, Keon Ellis hit a three at some point later on. They did a really good job. I thought that their defensive tenacity was excellent yesterday. I'm talking about the Kings. And they just look like the better, younger, more athletic, hungrier team. How many times did they block a defender attacking the rim where they just blocked a shot? Trey Lyles did it. I know Domantas Sabonis made a bunch of plays. I thought his top-of-the-key defense as a hedger, as a doubler, was really good, too. And he got back. He rotated. They looked hungrier, better, and like a well-oiled machine. They took even long rebounds and turned it into transition points.
Man, you know, we're so far away. Looney, we didn't play that drop enough yesterday. Well, Kevon Looney, after the Celtics game, said, boy, we feel like we're so far away from the 2022 NBA Finals. So when we rest on our laurels and say, well, we got four championships, I don't think Steph Curry's thinking like that. It just feels like we're so, as a fan base, so far away from that moment where we were partying down Market Street, where we were having a lot of fun at confetti, and we were talking about going back-to-back. And now they're trending in the opposite direction right now. If the playoffs started today and the play-in started today, the Warriors would not be participating. They're a half game back behind the Phoenix Suns, who are trying to make a trade, or a game back of the Phoenix Suns, who are trying to make a trade for Jimmy Butler. If what I'm hearing is that KD wants to stay down there in Phoenix, from what I hear is that Jimmy Butler is the target. So I don't know what the Warriors could do.
Well,
I don't know what the Warriors could do. Casey Johnson explained at 8:30 about what the Bulls may do at the deadline, and obviously Vuk and LaVine, which I'm open to having Zach LaVine. If you see what he's done the last 10 games, a bigger guard, the dude is averaging 29-6-5, shooting 47% from three over his last 10. Damn.
Well, they need athleticism in the worst way. They need a younger guy who can just be a running mate alongside Steph. His first half was brilliant. His floor game was incredible. I thought Gee was knocking down shots. Buddy hit some shots. You saw some Quentin Post minutes. Specifically in the second half, I thought he was really good, too. Got some big rebounds. Altered some shots. Quentin Post, like, there are some silver linings. Like, that's the hard part, and I feel like I'm handing out Capri Suns and fruit snacks.
Oh, sorry, my phone's acting up. Sorry, sir. Shut up. There are some silver linings. Quentin Post could play. He's a nice little role player. Guy Santos has shown me flashes over the last 2 weeks, beginning on that 4-game road trip in Detroit. Guy Santos could play. I like Guy. I like Guy a lot. Curry spoke about Guy. And this guy, the moment's never too big. You know, Evan Giddey's had a tweet yesterday about Guy Santos, which I subscribe to. Guy Santos plays like he's never had a crisis of confidence. 11 first half points, including three threes. And the energy he had in the fourth quarter when he hit that big three. I love his spirit. I love the way he dives all over the floor. I could roll with Guy Santos, man. I really can. So there was some encouraging signs. Wiggins bounced back from a 1-of-11 day against the Boston Celtics. But you look at Wiggins for the last five games, he's been really, really good
on
both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
So there are some positives, but it stings when it feels like you just gave it away. It does sting to me. I'm sorry. It stung last night, and it stings this morning even harder.
Watching the game, I didn't think they – again, I just looked at different. I didn't think they quote-unquote gave it away. The turnovers, I thought, was a big part of the game plan for the Kings was we're going to pressure the ball the second you cross half court, and we're going to have all eyes on Curry, and we're going to dare anyone else to beat us. And if you just look at the totality of Curry's career, you know, turnovers on that double team has been one of the things. Mm-hmm. Like that's been a bugaboo. But now the margin of error isn't as big as it was before. And these younger, quicker, faster teams turn those into automatic buckets. How many and ones yesterday? It's like, God.
So, Steve Kerr on the issues in the second half.
Turnovers. Yeah. The whole game was third quarter turnovers that, you know, they were trapping in the first half. We handled the traps beautifully, got wide open looks, knockdown shots. And then second half, we lost our poise. They picked up their pressure, but other than maybe two or three plays where they trapped Steph and got a deflection, I thought almost every turnover was unforced. But sometimes when you get sped up, you make poor decisions, and I thought that happened a little bit tonight.
Well, why is Schroeder moved to the bench?
Well, Buddy has been great with Steph, you know, their numbers together are really good. Just felt like, you know, we get a little more catch and shoot with Buddy, a little more spacing, and I love Dennis coming off the bench for his ball handling, his defense. He obviously is going to play all the non-Steph minutes and then play some with him as well, and so that was the idea behind the lineup change.
All right. So that's Steve Kerr. We're going to effort to Bill Simmons. Oh, we do have the Bill Simmons sound. Before we get to the call, Shasky, you want to hear Bill Simmons on his hypothetical trade package?
Wait, for the Rangers? This is Bill Simmons on a hypothetical trade package for the Warriors?
Yeah.
Is there any? Okay. Well, all right. Let's listen to it.
Love it. Spadoni said, hey, we got something. Interesting trade idea for the Dubs.
We're going to trade Anthony Davis to the Golden State Warriors. And we're going to get back your buddy Draymond Green, Schroeder's expiring, Kuminga, Jackson Davis, Golden State's 25 and 27 firsts, and a 2029 pick swap that's LA's call.
Are you sure this is the Lakers going the other way? Draymond's still a really good defender.
It's a pretty good trade. They're getting Draymond, Schroeder, Kuminga. They get to roll dice with them, Jackson Davis. And if you're the Warriors, you still have enough left and you're going to build around Davis and Curry going down the stretch, and you could probably get creative with some other moves. It's kind of fun.
I don't think the Warriors do it, but I'm intrigued.
Are you intrigued?
I would have done that deal the second it was offered.
If it was offered.
Well, it's a hypothetical, right? So, yeah. I would do that deal in a heartbeat. Anthony Davis, the big we haven't had ever since Wilt. Yeah, I'd do that. I don't think the Lakers are doing that deal. Because if you give up your 2025 first, it's probably a middle round pick, right? It's probably not going to be a top five or six pick. 2027, like, I don't know where the team's at that point. I'm willing to gamble that. Anthony Davis is everything you need. Shot protection, size, length. I mean, it changes fundamentally who you are. And now you build around that, and you get some spacing, and now I know, all right, I need 3-and-D guys all around him.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I actually think that cleans a lot of things up.
You think the Lakers would do something like that?
No, I do not think the Lakers would do something like that.
I'm saying here.
I mean, that feels very unlikely. But if I'm, like, the Warriors' perspective, I'd do that all day. Would you do it?
How many Warrior fans like that idea?
Would you do it?
Anthony Davis, I like Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Well, and here's the thing. When we talked about LeBron James being traded to the Golden State Warriors, you know my position. No, the guy from the Lakers is Anthony Davis. That's the guy to get. Not LeBron James, not anybody else. It's Anthony Davis. So would the Warriors do it? I don't know. Would the Lakers do it? I don't know. But it's intriguing because Anthony Davis does provide something that you just don't have.
So Wiggins,
now he's got to stay healthy, though.
Right? Wiggins wasn't a part of that deal?
He was not in that deal. He was not. And if I'm the Lakers, I probably would want Wiggins over Draymond. But the Draymond thing's interesting because of the LeBron James aspect, right?
See, I would try to throw Wiggins in the deal. Give me LeBron. I'll throw a bunch of other used parts.
Oh, well.
What?
So you want LeBron and AD?
Steph, LeBron, and AD.
So you're asking the Lakers to lose all their star power, and their team is driven by star power. That's just something they don't do.
I know, you're right. But, like, you're asking, if we're going to do hypotheticals, I'm going to take it a step further.
Let's just go crazy.
You could say no.
Lakers are also the fifth seed right now. I just don't think anyone realizes
it's
that.
It's a fun idea, but, yeah.
Yeah, they're the fifth seed.
If we're going to dream, you dream big.
Oh, man.
But that is the guy you would want, like, in this scenario. Like, and Anthony Davis is, what, 32? So he'll getting a little bit older. He's getting a little bit older. And him and Steph, they have played together, obviously, in Paris. And they probably played all-star games, whatever that means.
What would concern about AD, look, if I'd probably do the deal, but why I'm so hesitant is Jonathan Kuminga. I'm very hesitant.
Well, you're hoping him. Kuminga could be, right. You know, a version of whatever Anthony Davis's low watermark has been. Like
Jonathan Kuminga.
And we could all admit, like, that's, who knows, right? Like,
nobody knows. It's a question mark.
Who knows?
But also look at this, too. Availability, right? Anthony Davis, starting from 2018-19. 56 games, 62, 36, 40, 56,
well,
76.
1 year was COVID.
You know, no. Okay, 1 year was COVID. Take that a year. 56, 62, 36, 40. And also, the COVID year actually played a lot of games because they went to the bubble and actually won the championship.
Yeah, so, but he got a chance to rest and all that
right,
stuff.
Right, exactly. So he was hurt.
Yeah.
He was hurt during that.
But literally, you know, Draymond's hurt right now, and literally Kuminga's hurt right now.
No doubt, but I'm saying that's a risk when you give up all those assets because it's also the picks.
Of course, it's a risk.
So that's all. You know, I don't know how many people would do that. I don't know.
There's no deal out there that doesn't have risk baked in.
Does that move the needle for the Warriors, you think? Does that make them better?
Yeah, I mean, they're not done, you know. But, yeah, I think that makes them way better, don't you?
I don't know.
Anthony Davis?
I don't know.
And Steph, that's the best shooter he's ever played with.
I don't know. I'd have to think that one through. Because I do get worried about AD's availability. That's a big sticky point to me. Even when he does play, he gets knocked. Hell, he left the Warriors game this year.
Yeah, you got his eye
batted. It's always something with AD. That would concern me. Let's go to...
we've got Rick celebrating.
Let's go to Jimmy in Dublin. Jimmy, what's happening? Jimmy, you there? Joe in the Sco. Joe in the Sco. What's up, Joe? Where you at in the Sco?
Yo, what up, Bonte? What up, Shaq?
Where you at in the Sco, Joe?
San Fran, man.
No, I'm saying, where are you at in the Sco? I know San Francisco's the Sco is San Francisco.
Hunter's Point.
We're from here, man. We know. Come on, Joe.
What you got?
Right. Yeah, man, I'm kind of torn between... that game last night, losing. I know you say you ain't really mad, But I mean, you is mad about it. But I'm thinking, if we win that game, we that just make us that more delusional on how good we really is. You know what I'm saying? We really need to make a move quick, fast, in a hurry. Like if we still got Monte Ellis on this team, you think we any better? I think that's why we got rid of Monte Ellis, because we couldn't play that, you know what I'm saying, small ball stuff. That's why we, you know what I'm saying, put Clay up in there.
Can I ask you a question? What made you bring up the name Monte Ellis? He hasn't been around here in like 13 years. I'm just curious.
Just thinking about this small ball with Dennis Schroeder next to Steph and all these guards in the game. It's like, come on, man. We need some size out there.
All right. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm with you, Joe. I don't like the small backcourt at times. You got to break it up. Too small.
Were they even trying to go? I like the guy. I do. I do. I'm telling you. GP2.
No, they're not guarding him right now. They're leaving him open. He's shooting 17%.
What'd you have? A truly?
I love GP2, but he's shooting 17% from three.
I do too. Sam Loveman.
He actually hit one yesterday, though.
He did. Was that the first half? I think.
My fault.
Maybe.
Sam Loveman gave a great comp this morning, okay? A great comp. Sam, explain to Bonte what you said to me.
Well, he's screening a call right now, so I'll vamp in behalf of Sam Lund because he's doing a great job right now getting all these callers on the air right here. Real quick, Joe on the Sco, I thought, was absolutely going to say that the Warriors miss Monte Ellis. I thought that's where he was going.
I was trying to follow law.
Haven't said that since 2011.
I was trying to see where he was going. I like Joe on the Sco. He's a new caller, man. He's doing a good job.
He said that GP2 reminds him of the way we viewed Andres Torres or Gregor Blanco after the championship years. Meaning, dude, you were really useful. But like now, me seeing you out on the floor or in the game in important spots, it's like, okay, well, what are we doing? Like you're a useful role player, but like we're asking too much of you.
Well, he only played, honestly, 12 minutes and 44 seconds last night. He only played 12:44. On a shorthanded team, he was 3 of 6, 8 points, 6 rebounds. I thought GP2 was being aggressive. Sure, the turnovers drive us all crazy. It drove me crazy. But I thought GP2 was finishing at the rim.
No,
I get it. 1 of 3 from the 3-point line. Trust me, he's shooting
70%. It's what he represents.
You know?
What he represents is specialist, you know, very niche.
Yep.
You know, he's perfect on a winning team and a contending team, and he can do a lot of little stuff, and he's a good glue guy and all that. But like, if he's an important part of this team, we're in trouble. Like, it's just that.
Well, he's not your second or third option, no doubt about it. But at times, you need him to defend quicker point guards, and I thought him and Wiggins did a good job on De'Aaron Fox. Think about De'Aaron Fox; he went 2 of 11 last night. 2 of 11, De'Aaron Fox. And Malik Monk didn't get going really to the fourth quarter, so they were struggling. GP2 is fine. He played 12 minutes and 44 seconds last night. Now he can't turn the ball over 4 times. He'll tell you that one 4 times and 12 minutes is just too much, too many turnovers. You know, turnovers. You got to take better care of the ball. But, you know, I didn't walk away from that game saying, boy, GP2 really killed us. I know what he is. He's a specialist, a defensive specialist right now. But if you have the right pieces around him, it could work. Right now they're shorthanded and it looks a bit clunky at times. So,
how many guys on the team do you say, if they have the right pieces around them, it could work?
Well, we've said that all season. Let's go to Vince in the city. Vince, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Bonte, you asked, you know, are these losses, you know, making us fans mad? And hell yeah, it's making me mad, dude. Like, we're losing to the Kings in a game that we were up. In closing time, DeSantos hit a 3 to put us up 3.
Yeah.
And it's like, you guys can't hold on for 4 minutes? You can't. There was no after that. We didn't score. You can't even get a shot. Steph's getting doubled. He's getting pressured down the floor. He had to settle for, like, what was that, like a 35-37 footer? Is that the shot that you want to take with the game on the line? I mean, it's Steph. I get it. I had a similar call a couple years ago where he took a deep shot. It was like, come on, bro. Like, I get your Steph. You're the three god, but sometimes you don't have to take a 3 just to take it. You know, and then I also messaged you last night. It's like, what happened to that weave that we used to run at the top of the circle? You know, a lot. There's a lot of player movement and ball movement. what I'm seeing right now is a lot of, like, wasted and empty passes. Like, guys are just passing just to pass, and then there's nothing really else happening. People aren't moving. The only guy running around the court is Steph. Like, what happened to the elevator screen? Like, there's no plays that you guys can bring back.
No
you
doubt.
Know, and, like,
the elevators. I like the elevators.
There's guys who are taking three. I get it. You're open, but you're not hot. So, I understand the analytics side of it, but I'd rather take.
We break it up a little, Vince. Break it up a little bit. So I like a little elevators. I like the Outkast song, Elevators. I like a little elevators on the court.
No, it's funny he mentioned the elevator screen because, like, I'm watching the game last night, too, and I just had that random thought. Like, you don't see that anymore with them. Like, what did happen?
You don't see it a lot in the NBA. I mean, it's kind of like a special play. I almost equate that elevators play. It's like a trick play in the NFL. You know what I mean? You'll see it here and there, but it's not something you're going to run all the time.
Fake field goal, baby. God, when's the last time we saw one of those?
Right. The Kings were playing a defense that reminded me of like a high school defense that you would play when you know the other team has one D1 player on the team and the rest of the team's not that good. And you're basically saying to yourself, if we're going to lose this game, we're losing this game where that guy right there is going to do nothing to beat us. Yeah. He's going to have to throw and pass to everyone, and we're going to dare them to consistently hit shots. And if they do, we'll tip our cap. Yep. But we think that they can't do it. And that's what it felt like yesterday.
Well, that's what it feels
doubles,
like every game.
Triples. Oh, let's throw a zone. Let's mix it up. All right, we're going to bring up the big. All right, you're going to set the screen. We're still going to blitz you. And then we're going to roll our coverage over, and we're going to say to ourselves, oh, we'll leave Andrew Wiggins open. We don't think he can hit a three consistently. We don't think Buddy Hield's going to stay hot. We don't think GP2 can touch water in a boat in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Like, that's kind of why, like, Quentin Post, even though I'm not here pretending like he's something special, it was, like, nice to see him take a couple of nice-looking three-point shots. What did he take, three, four? He hit one.
Last night, he was 1 of 4, 2 of 5 from the floor, 1 of 4 from three.
Look. The fact that he even took them and it looked good, it was
it did look good.
I need a stretch big, which now I'm retconning my own opinion. Like, I do think Lauri Markkanen would be a significant upgrade on this team because of his stretch shooting. That I do. And I know it would have cost a fortune, so that's a different question. But
that's what it is. It's the cost.
It would have cost a fortune, but he would have looked good. He would have looked good.
It's the cost of Lauri Markkanen.
Yes.
It's the cost, which is he's not a bad player. But the cost of what you were going to give up to try to help protect
wasn't giving up Kuminga for Lauri Markkanen.
Kuminga, Pods, Moody, but it wasn't just that. It was all the picks you were going to give up. Lauri Markkanen, look at his contract. Look what he's doing now. I don't know. He's going to be offensively, you would have been solid.
Yeah.
Would have been solid offensively. But I'm looking at he tossed 10 and 32 for crying out loud. Oh my gosh. Should we break now or go to Jan real quick? Break. Jan, right before Casey Johnson covers the Bulls for Chicago Sports Network, we'll get to know about LaVine and Vuk, what it could cost, and we'll get them in and out and take your calls, 888-957-9570. Plus, you got to hear what Logan Murdoch had to say about Joe Lacob and the way he runs his business. Very interesting, but it's something that I think we already knew. So to me, it's not new news, but we'll play that anyway. Plus, Jan and Mountain View, hang on tight. We'll get you on the other side. Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Trades are hard.
Before we get to Casey Johnson, because we will talk trades with Casey Johnson, been covering the Bulls for so long. Chicago Sports Network now, formerly of NBC Sports Chicago. Casey Johnson in just a second on the River Islands guest line. Real quick, let's get to Jan in Mountain View. She's been on hold for a while. Love getting Jan in here. Jan always has a good take. Good morning, Jan. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing okay. I just wanted to bring up a topic that I've heard, and I'm bringing it up again. And that was that I think that, last night in the third quarter, the Kings went zone. Why didn't Kerr adjust to it? Why couldn't they adjust to the zone? And when they were playing Miami, I mean,
yeah.
Kerr needs to adjust or restyle, you know, develop another style of play that these other players on the team can help win the game, because Curry understands all this, but do the players that are coming in, like, and the others that have to develop? I mean, come on now. Kerr's been on this team since Curry has, and he came onto this team when Curry was already developed. Well, he needs to be able to tell what it looks like. These other teams are going to follow the lead of the Kings and Miami.
Dan, you're spot on, and you know your basketball because they have been struggling against the zone. Miami runs a lot of zone. They run maybe the most zone defense in the NBA. Nick Nurse will do it. He'll junk it up in Philadelphia, but Miami does it with Eric Spoelstra, and they ran so much zone against the Golden State Warriors. They had no clue how to navigate it, but to beat a zone, you got to have great shooting. You got to have great guys with the dribble drive penetrate, and right now the Warriors don't have neither. They've been one of the worst shooting teams since the month of December, and we all know they're last in free throw shooting, and they're not a lot of good shooting. And not a lot of guys who could break their man off the dribble. But maybe they'll get a guy who could break their man off the dribble, like a Zach LaVine. Let's talk to KC Johnson, who covers the Bulls for the Chicago Sports Network. I'll see KC Johnson. I remember you when the Warriors signed Otto Porter Jr. You were the first guy to say, hey, if he's healthy, he is a steal. And you know what? In that June, we were celebrating the championship and the parade down Market Street here in San Francisco as KC Johnson joins us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. How you doing this morning, KC?
That you got the one healthy season from Otto.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Vasinga Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Porter Jr., so congratulations.
Milk the hell out of that one, well. Casey.
Exactly.
Hope you're doing well. As Casey Johnson again, he appears on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands of Lathrop? All right, a lot of noise around Nikola Vucevic and, of course, Zach LaVine. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. I always blow it, and I know this every single game because I look at their media guy, but these two guys, what is it going to cost to get these two guys in a trade? Because I know the Bulls are notorious for being sticklers when it comes to trades. They're one of the more weirder teams to trade with. So what's going on with LaVine and Vuk?
You pronounced it correctly. It's Vucevic. The Bulls are in a weird situation because they obviously started dismantling this team last offseason with the sign and trade of DeMar DeRozan and then the trade of Alex Caruso to OKC for Josh Giddey. but they didn't go all the way. And so they're kind of still stuck in the middle. You know, they're 10th in the East play-in, and they've got to be one of the 10 worst teams to keep their first round pick, or else it goes to the Spurs. So they've been open for business pretty much all season. You know, Brooklyn obviously already got in on the board with some trades, with Schroeder to you guys and Finney Smith to the Lakers. Bulls, you know, have been pretty active from the start of the season in being out there talking to teams, but they, you know, the issue with both LaVine and Vucevic is they both make a lot of money, LaVine in particular. So they haven't been able to find a match. You know, as you guys know, things typically get more serious at this time of year as you get closer to the deadline. So we'll see. You know, you hear a lot of different stuff about the Warriors. You hear they're going to keep their powder dry and wait till the off season, and or you hear they might make a move and take one last run. So all those cards will get played as we get closer to February 6th.
All right. So the important thing you said there was the Bulls are actually incentivized to finish low because they'll keep their first round pick. Is that correct?
100%. I mean, okay. They can't say that publicly. Management, obviously, for fans and things like that. But yeah, they're tired of being in the middle, and okay, that's exactly where they are again. Yep.
Awesome. So that being said, not being in the front office, who do you think they would want on the Warriors roster? It, for any combination, whether it be LaVine, Vucevic, or the two of them together?
Well, I can tell you what they don't want. They don't want bad long-term money like most teams. So obviously you've got some expirings in Payton and Looney. So they want draft capital and good contracts. I mean, if you throw an intriguing young player in there, that's fine. But they've got eight guys on their roster and are 24. So they're set with the intriguing young players, although some of them haven't really been intriguing to this point, but that's another point. But so like they just, you know, they want to make a smart deal like most teams. And because they feel like they've got the two-time All-Stars, which both Vucevic and LaVine are, they can kind of hold firm right now. So that's where you're hearing like the Bulls are being weird because,
right,
you know, as you get, when you're this far out from the deadline, you can play a little bit of hardball now. Maybe as they get close to the deadline, those parameters move. They get a little more desperate, and they take on some bad money. I don't know the decision making process there, but that's typically how these things go. So we'll see. Like I said, I think over the next 2 weeks, you're going to see teams get a little more serious rather than the little dancing around that they're doing right now.
Casey Johnson covers the Bulls for the Chicago Sports Network. He's been covering them for a long, long time out there in the Windy City. So Coby White, I love. I know the Bulls are not going to move off of him. I love Coby White and that team-friendly contract. He's so good. But Zach LaVine, he's on a heater right now. In his last 10 games, I couldn't believe what my eyes saw. 29 a game, 6-5. He's shooting 47% from three in the last 10. Hell, he's shooting 45% on the season from the three-point line. Let's start with him, and then we'll get to Vuk. What would the cost be for him in terms of draft capital? Are they looking for players or just simply picks and moving off that contract for Zach LaVine?
Again, yeah, they, especially in LaVine's case, they'd want first-round picks. I mean, he's a two-time All-Star, and, you know, he was hurt last year, had a bad year. You know, to me, he's in the All-Star reserve conversation this year. I mean, his shooting splits are ridiculous. He's an elite scorer. He obviously has a reputation of not being able to impact winning or play defense. Well, ask Warriors coach Steve Kerr about both those things, because he was an assistant on the Olympic team in Tokyo when Zach LaVine did both those things. He won a gold medal, and he was the sixth man and played defense on that team because they had enough scorers. So I've long been a pretty big and staunch Zach defender. I think he gets unfairly maligned a lot. Mm-hmm. He's grown as a leader. He's in a really great headspace. He's a father twice over now, and just, you know, really finding kind of his groove in the NBA. So the Bulls are going to ask high price. And as you guys know, like, this is stuff that bores people, including those of us who cover the team. But, like, with the new CBA, trades of Zach's contract size are really tough to pull off. They just are, because the aprons and the restrictions on there. So, you know, and with Vooch, so with Zach, to answer your question, it'd be multiple first-round picks.
Right.
With Vooch, I guarantee you they're asking for at least one first-round pick right now. Again, whether that moves to a second-round pick as we get close to the deadline just to get off of him, we will see. But right now they're holding firm on first-round picks.
All right, Casey, that was good stuff there. Maybe, just maybe, as the Bulls are in town tonight, Zach LaVine and Vuk, they could go get a hotel room. They stay in the Bay Area. Mike Dunleavy and company could work something out and get these two players because I know Warrior fans are desperate. But the price tag, and it feels like with Zach LaVine in that contract, the Bulls would have to take back some major money, right? Correct? I mean, to make the contracts match.
Yeah, and maybe you get a third team involved. I mean, again, with the new CBA, contracts of Zach's size are tough to move. And by the way, I used that very joke with Vuk yesterday after practice in L.A. I said, you just going to stay in Golden State tomorrow night? So we'll see what happens.
How do they view that? Does Zach LaVine want to come back to the West Coast? Would Vuk, would they be interested in playing alongside Stephen Curry?
Who wouldn't, number one? Here's what I would say. Like, these guys, they're both, you know, Zach's been in the league 11 years, Vuk's been in the league 14 years. They've both been traded before. Vuk from Orlando, the Bulls, Zach from Minnesota, Bulls. They understand the business of basketball. I talk to these guys publicly, privately. They know what's up. They're committed to making the Bulls as good as they can be. They're committed to being professional. And if the trade happens, they'll be on board with that. That's just veterans that have been traded and know the league. That's how they approach the trade deadline. And both those guys are in that headspace.
I'm glad you said it, Casey Johnson, because a lot of fans out here, and we'll let you go, but a lot of fans out here get on the owner, Joe Lacob, when he said, you know, trades are hard. And I try to explain that. Shasky tries to explain that. And here you are. You've been on the beat for so many years, especially with the new CBA. Trades are going to become more difficult because of all the money you got to match and teams not want to pay the tax and get to the first or second apron. So, yeah, it's going to be tough to pull off. Do you believe, before we let you go, that they will be traded before the deadline, Zach LaVine and Vuk?
I don't think Zach will be. I've been saying all along, I think Vuk is in a different uniform on February 7th. So we'll see how that plays out. Whether that's a Warriors uniform, you guys can call me back in early February, okay?
Casey, man, you're always good to us, man. We always appreciate the time with you, brother.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Casey Johnson here on the River Islands Guest Line. Covers the Bulls for the Chicago Sports Network. So he believes Zach LaVine will remain in a Bulls uniform and Vuk will be in a different uniform. Maybe we'll tweet that out to the Warrior fans who are going crazy right now on social media about that.
So Zach, with the player option, is essentially under contract through 26-27. Yep. That would align up with Draymond and Andrew Wiggins, but it sounds like they don't want to take on more money.
Long-term money.
Right? And so you're going to have to trade them picks. And that brings me to Kuminga. Why would they trade for Kuminga only to extend him big money to a new multi-year deal? So let's just take Kuminga off the board. Like, now you're looking at Dennis Schroeder, Gary Payton, Kyle Anderson's a lower number, but him and Buddy Hield are both through 26-27. So that doesn't give them a lot of relief. Moses Moody just signed a full extension through 27-28. LaVine might not be on the table for the Warriors, but the Vucevic, is it Vukovic or Vucevic?
Vucevic.
He feels attainable. You know, he feels attainable. And if you're trading next year's first, if it's going to be a middle round first, at this point, I mean, sure.
34 years old, Vuk. I've warmed up to Zach LaVine. And after listening to Casey Johnson, I've really warmed up to Zach. A couple of years ago, I was like, I don't know about Zach. He gets hurt. He is a high flyer. I know Guru's been all over Zach LaVine for like 6 years. He loves Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's a hell of a player. He goes hard, man. He goes hard. And he's explosive. He's athletic. I just can't believe the type of three-point shooter he has become in this league. Now, if you could get a third team involved, as you heard from Casey Johnson, that would be great, right? But just look at his numbers here from three. He's having an astonishing season. He's only shot over 40% from three twice in his career, but he's a lifetime 38.7 three-point shooter. That ain't bad, folks. That ain't bad at all. And when you think about his size, 6'5", 200 pounds, and he played for Steve Kerr, which is something that I omitted, forgot that he played for Steve Kerr in those Olympic Games, and Casey Johnson said, hey, he gets a knock that he doesn't play defense. He played for Steve Kerr, and he played very good defense there. Look, it's hard to play defense in the league, but I always felt like the NBA is a bucket-getter league. You got to get buckets. It's an offensive-driven league. Sure, you need to play some defense and get some stops in critical situations, but what did the Warriors end last night? Offense. Offensive execution. Not getting buckets late down the stretch. Not creating good shots. So I've warmed up to Zach LaVine. I don't know how you would do it, but I would try to get creative with Zach LaVine and Vuk. I would.
So would you agree that it probably includes Andrew Wiggins?
Probably. Maybe. 28, 20, 20, what is it, 28? You got to match the money up, right? Because they're both making big money. Vuk is getting, what, $20
million? You can't just give him a bunch of Schroeders and Paytons and so Kyle Andersons.
Vuk is making 20 this year. He's going to make 21 next year, 21-4.
So, and then Zach LaVine's on a 40?
Zach LaVine is making, I believe, 45.
So you're looking at a combined $60 million. Yeah, again, that's either Wiggins or Draymond and a bunch of other used parts plus picks.
43 Zach- million this year, 45. 45, not to cut you off, 46 next year, 43 this year, and then he has a player option, Zach LaVine, for 48.9 in 2026-27.
Is he a better fit? Not is he a better player. Is he a better fit for what they want to do, whatever that means, Zach LaVine than Andrew Wiggins?
It's a great question, because I haven't watched much of Zach LaVine this year. So what type of player he is, I'm going to be watching him very closely. I know he has the ball in his hands a lot, and he can go one-on-one isolation. Can he play read and react? I'm sure he can probably adjust, but would Steve Kerr adjust for that type of personnel?
Would he be the defender that they've been kind of, not that he's on the level of what Clay used to be, but the kind of two-guard defender that they've been looking for
maybe
just to be competent?
Maybe. I mean, this guy's a high flyer, man. Like you said, like Casey said, he's going to be an all-star this year. I'm going to watch tonight and have more thoughts on Zach LaVine just by watching him tonight at Chase Center. How's he going to play? It's a great showcase game at the right time for all the Warrior fans to see with Zach LaVine. Now, if they go crazy, Zach LaVine and Vuk, and they light the Warriors up, oh, my God, can you imagine the calls tomorrow and all the fans saying, go get these guys right now, go get them, and if they don't get them, oh, they didn't get – it's going to take a lot to get these guys. We can replay that, some of these sound bites from Casey Johnson, but you got to understand, fans, and I think a lot of them do, it's going to be very hard to pull something off like this.
Well, I agree. If they got – hypothetically, they lose Wiggins and Draymond and some other stuff, and it's some wild three-team trade, and somehow you land Zach LaVine and Vuk. That's as big of a shakeup at the deadline as they've done since the We Believe year.
Yeah.
In terms of changing the makeup and core of your team and the direction of your team.
Maybe even Monte Ellis. But no, I get you. It is a shakeup. Huge shakeup.
If they came to you right now, like, Bonte, we have 1 minute to decide, yes or no. Are you in? Yes or no. On a big shakeup like that, it's going to cost you a ton of picks. I don't even want to get down the weeds. Just let's just say a ton of picks. Are you in or out on that?
I'd rather wait till the summer, if that's the case.
Okay, what if I said
because
to you,
I don't know. I don't know
Steph
how
Curry
much
wants this.
I don't. Well, Steph Curry, you give Steph Curry what he wants.
Okay, I
give Steph Curry what he
that,
wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, you give him what he wants.
I wonder what he wants.
You give Steph what he wants. Steph says yes, then you do it. Steph says no, then you don't do it. It's that simple.
Are the fans in or out on a big-time shakeup like that?
I think they're in on it.
You think they're all in on
it?
I
mean, come on. Calls we've taken this year, this season?
Is there anybody
every
that's
loss,
not in
it becomes
on it?
More in.
What's that?
With every single loss like that last night. Yeah.
They become more in, right?
Is there one person who's like, nope, I think we're close?
Oscar and Stockton.
Leave Oscar alone, man. He's one of our loyal
players. He asked. Nominee. He said Oscar and Stockton.
Nominee for Roaster of the Year.
Well, look, I
was nice. I just said he was Oscar and Stockton.
Okay. When you lose the game the way they did yesterday, and you see how stifled Steph was in the half court, and how it's just frustrating, right? It's just like, forget the anger word we've been using the last couple days. Like, are you angry? It's just like, we all are frustrated, right? The players. I'm sure ownership. I can't even imagine how frustrated ownership is.
They're not very good.
Right?
Like 888-957-9570.
No biscuit if you ain't willing to risk it.
Who else do we have? We got Bobby Marks coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Of course, ESPN analyst and front office insider. 888-957-9570. Would you be all in on a Vuk and LaVine trade? Would you want to do something like that?
Costing you.
It's going to cost you a lot. It's going to cost you a lot.
Let's just all say it costs you everything.
It costs you a lot.
Let's just say that.
It's
going to
cost you a lot.
Everything.
Picks, everything. Everything. Now, a lot of people may think Quentin Post is your Vuk.
Look, I'm really excited about the guy, but wouldn't it be nice to have him alongside, like, in some sort of a rotation? Now I have a Looney TJD big combo and a combo of Vuk and Quentin Post, and he can learn a little. I mean, he is
Vuk,
a rookie.
Vuk this year, 20-10 in 32 minutes a game. He's 34, but he's shooting 41% from the three-point line, and you heard, let's get that out on Twitter, Casey Johnson thinks that LaVine will be in a uniform after the February 6th deadline, in the Bulls uniform, I should say, and Vuk will be gone. That's his guess on what's going to happen with Chicago. Let's go to David in Maryland. David, what's up?
What's up, Bonte? How you guys doing, man?
I'm good, man.
I'm good. Good.
Yeah, you too, Shasky. I didn't mean to leave you out. Don't feel left out.
It's okay.
Bonte, I want to know how you could be surprised, you know, at that performance yesterday.
Not surprised.
Really? Yeah, I mean, deflated, I don't blame you for
just
not being
deflated and disappointed,
right?
On how it shook out. Like, it was frustrating to watch that third quarter. It felt like it was 24 minutes long when it was only 12 minutes long.
Yeah.
And the live ball turnovers, just basic CYO stuff, drove me insane.
Yeah.
It did. It kind of drove me crazy yesterday. And I'm a little frustrated and deflated by it. But I'm not surprised by
Bonte,
no means.
Don't you? Yeah, right. And I get you. What I'm saying, Bonte, is, I mean, this is very predictable. I mean, when we watch the games now as Warriors fans, I kind of feel almost scared when I see the Warriors going into the other part of the half up 10 points. I'm afraid, and that doesn't even make sense. I'm literally scared. Not scared, but I'm just like, well, I wonder how they're going to choke this. You know, I'm more confident in the Warriors when they're down a couple of points going into the second half or up like 3 points going into the second half. And that doesn't even make sense, but it's just based on everything what we've seen. That's just how our season has gone. So I'm not surprised at anything I'm seeing. I'm grateful that Quentin Post is getting some burn now. You know, I mean, fans were pointing out, hey, you know, yelling at the top of our lungs, this guy might be something. You know, we haven't had a stretch five in a long time here. You know, maybe this is something that we need. And, you know, I'm grateful that he's seeing some time on the court now. And I'm hopeful that, you know, as he progresses, he'll become a more reliable piece in the rotation. But my whole message here today is that fans aren't surprised. I don't think it necessarily means we're giving up on the Warriors, that anyone's truly given up, but we see the writing on the wall. I don't even want to do trade machines. I mean, you guys are asking questions on trades. I don't even want to do that. Steph told me to shut up. I'm Twitter fingers. I shouldn't say anything about trade machines.
That's a good point.
I'm not doing any trade machines anymore. I don't want to say anything about trades. They want to figure it out. So let them figure it out if that's what they want to do. But we all have come to expect this from the Warriors. We're not surprised. Doesn't mean we're not fans, but I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
That's a great call, man, David.
Steph?
That is
he
a
said
great
something
call.
The effect of Steph told me to shut up, so that's what
I might be
do.
The most rational thing anyone has ever said on this show.
Shut up.
And save your
whatever Steph says, I'm going to do
man,
it.
Man, that is great. The fact that Steph said, put your Twitter fingers down and just shut up.
And fans
the fact
are
that
listening.
Steph said that. And
yeah, they said that outwardly. Inwardly, I'm sure he's like, dude. I'm doing the same trade machines. Him and Canyon are at home right now firing up the iPad. Like, who can we move?
Canyon is Rick Barry's kid.
Oh, what's his name? Cannon.
Cannon. Yeah.
Cannon. My bad. My bad. My bad. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to disrespect his family. I did not mean to do that.
You know.
My bad. Canyon is Rick Barry's son.
You know,
who competed in 3-on-3s and should have won an Olympic gold medal.
You know. Somebody on chat said, where's Jim Park at, right? And he's on YouTube, right? I mean, on Twitter. And I knew Monday when I was tweeting during the Celtics game, I said, boy, I'm really in the deep end because Jim Park's out here cold tweeting.
Who's
me.
Jim Park?
Jim Park, you know who Jim Park
no,
is on
I know,
Twitter.
But the people
Jim
that
Park,
don't know.
Jim Park is a, I guess he's a diehard Warrior fan who is, he gets a bit emotional.
I would say diehard Curry fan. Well, there's a distinction.
He gets a bit emotional. So I knew... You know, it's just, this is unbelievable. When you're deep in, by
I love
the way,
when he goes all X's and O's, and it somehow finds my way onto my timeline, and I'll see all these X's and O's, and I'm thinking to myself, I would love for him to come help me out tonight with the St. Brendan Bears eighth grade team at 7 o'clock, and I just roll the ball to him and say, I want to see you conduct the next 30 minutes of practice just to get a feel for what he knows because he clearly has all the answers.
Well, Jim Park, man, he's an astute basketball fan, man. He pays attention. You know, I got nothing bad to say about Jim Park. Logan Murdoch, I have nothing bad to say about him. I love Logan. That's my guy from The Ringer. And he has the Real Ones podcast with Howard Beck and Roger Bell. And they were talking about the Warriors the other day. This hit the rounds yesterday on social media. I know Willard or Dibs was giving us some run, so we'll give us some run as well, and we'll have our rebuttal to this. here is Logan Murdoch on how Dunleavy's job is very, very hard.
Mike Dunleavy not necessarily getting the autonomy or knowing what it's like to not get the autonomy when you're the Warriors GM, when you have an owner like Joe Lacob, who's all constantly meddling on every single deal, who is pushing you to sign Kuminga to a big deal when, you know, the coaches keep telling you, Hey, I don't think he's that. I don't know if he's that consistent. I don't know if he's that consistent.
So what did you make of that?
I made of that the owner who came into this studio 4 years ago is standing by what he told us, which is he's involved in every move. And he's not alone. Like every owner, almost for every team out there, they don't just cut checks. That's not,
no.
Just cut checks and shut up. That's not how it works. That's just not how it works. David Sampson, who I know you don't like very much, and I understand why, talks about why every owner jumps over their own GM in every sport and has their own ideas of what should be done. And 9 out of 10 times, that GM is falling in line with what the owner wants to do. If the owner doesn't want to write the check, they're not going to write the check. No. If the owner does want to pull the trade, they're going to pull the trade. Not that they're in the weeds on every little tiny transaction, but the big stuff, yeah. The owner of the $9 billion valuation Warriors, who built the enterprise in terms of the actual basketball facilities in the beautiful gem of Chase Center and spent more money on luxury tax than any owner in the history of the NBA, yeah, he's got veto power and final say. Wow. Color me shocked.
Yeah, I mean, when he said metal, I don't know why I made the round so much. This is something we've all known for 5 years now. 5 years. Lakers came in and discussed the Kelly Oubre deal. He goes, look, we all weren't on board with it, and, you know, I learned my lesson. But he said, I'm part of the group decision-making. If I was an owner, I'd probably do the same thing. You know, as long as you let certain people do it. And I think Mike Dunleavy is allowed to do his job. Personally, I think Mike Dunleavy has been allowed to keep Podziski and been allowed to veto some of the things that's happened. And I think it hasn't been smart whether or not the owner wants to sign Kuminga long-term. I think there are some people who want to sign Kuminga long-term, but I also think it was smart for Dunleavy to say, hold on, let's wait a minute. Let's wait a minute. We just got under the tax. We're under the first apron. Let's see how Kuminga plays. He's a restricted free agent. How much are the dollars going to go up? How much money do people have? Let's chill for a second.
Can I ask you a question? Going back to the Hard Knocks offseason, where Mara, the owner of the New York Giants, walked into the GM's room and said, boy, are you sure we really want to get rid of Saquon Barkley?
Right.
Was that meddling, having that conversation?
Absolutely. That's meddling to me. Absolutely. Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
I'm going to trust your judgment, but are you sure you want to do this?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
But I thought that came off as an owner who's like clearly tapped into what his fan base wants.
He's in a war room during draft day, sitting in the middle next to the GM, seeing what the hell's going on.
But I think I really truly believe that, like, GMs miss, owners miss, coaches miss. That doesn't mean
players miss shots
all the time. Heck, I'll never forget when the Warrior players wanted Avery Bradley instead of GP2 at one point. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I guess where I'm going at with this is that, like, I would rather my owner have some involvement than being non-existent altogether.
Yep. I think it kind of
comes with the territory. Now, that being said,
he's not conducting press conferences right now like Jerry Jones is.
No, like there's levels to it. There's levels to it.
Jerry York is involved. Jerry-